All right, so Parshas Vayishlach. So let's learn a little bit about the Parsha. So Yaakov Avinu was doing fine. He just went through, he ran away, he avoided any issues with Esav, right? After the brachas, he got the brachas, he avoids any conflict with Esav. He deals with Lavan, he builds a bais nem b'Yisrael, he's back to Eretz Yisrael, it's kavalik. So what happened? So the Pasuk says, as we know, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav El Esav Achiv, that Yaakov Avinu, out of nowhere, on his own, sends messengers to Esav. Messengers to Esav. So Chazal already, he gives the message, right? Koyim Avtochal Yaakov, so says your servant Yaakov, and Mavin Garti, Ve'echardati, Ve'lishar Rechamar, and so on. So Chazal already point, like, why is Yaakov Avinu starting up? Like, why are you starting this? So famously, the Ramban brings down from the Medrash that Chazal say it was the Shtikal Taina, Yaakov Avinu. Why you don't start up with the dog, and the dog is not starting up with you. So that's what Chazal say. The truth is, obviously, even in Gemara, whenever there's like two opinions and we paskin like one, the opinion that we don't paskin like, you still have to understand what the thought process was. Allah is kam v'kam, you're talking about Yaakov Avinu. So even though every word of Chazal is true, so there is, on some level, sort of like Yaakov Avinu is to blame for instigating with Esav, but even though that's obviously a certain level of truth, as Chazal explained in the Medrash, but Yaakov Avinu did it for a reason. So the question is, why is Yaakov Avinu specifically starting up with Esav right now? Now the truth is like this. There's a tradition that by the Mefarshim of Rashi, that every basic question in Chumash, Rashi deals with. Every basic question. That's why, even in Halacha is that there's a mitzvah Shnayim Mikvecha Targum. So according to the Rishonim, they bring down that by learning Rashi and Chumash, that's fulfilling Shnayim Mikvecha Targum. So one of the questions that the Achronim ask is, one second, there's not a Rashi in every single Pasuk. So the answer is that contained in Pirush Rashi is the answer to any question you'll have on Chumash. Basic questions. So this basic question, which is like what's Yaakov doing? Like, what's Yaakov doing? Which is a pretty basic question. The answer must be contained in Rashi. And the truth is it is. Later on, when Esav eventually comes with 400 men and instead of fighting, so v'yishakeyu, they embrace each other and so on. So it says in Pasuk like this. Esav asks Yaakov, what is all of this? And so Yaakov says, this is all the things that Hashem has blessed me with. So v'yomer Esav says, Yesh li rav, I have a lot. Achi yilacha shalach, take what's yours, you should take. Says Rashi, Kan hoydeloy ala brachas. That over here, Esav was conceding to Yaakov Avinu that the brachas that he got from Yitzchak, they're rightfully Yaakov's. This was Yaakov's plan all along. The reason why Yaakov Avinu reaches out to Esav, is all ultimately in order to get Esav to be maskim. Okay, you know what? Fine, the brachas are yours. And eventually it works. So this is the answer to the basic question of what Yaakov is doing. Again, Chazal are still pointing out that there's a danger involved over here in this effort, and maybe that's something that that Chazal say maybe you shouldn't have undertaken. But the undertaking of Yaakov was in order for Esav to concede the brachas. But now the question is, who cares if Esav is maskim or not? He got the brachas already. Esav's going to hate Yaakov either way. Halacha biyadua, Esav's son is Yaakov, right? After he's maskim to the brachas, Esav still continues to hate Yaakov. So what exactly is accomplished by the fact that Esav is maskim? Who cares? It was never an issue to begin with. Okay, so that remains the question. Second of all, Bechlal, as again, maybe a couple more detailed questions. V'yishlach Yaakov malachim lefanav, right? So Yaakov, as Rashi says, malachim mamish. So the question is, why? Why mamish malachim? Why mamish malachim? It gets a basic question. But why mamish malachim? Imanushach. If Esav is able to see these malachim, then Mestama, you can like telepathically talk to Esav. You know what I mean? So what do you need? What do you need malachim for? Right, so that's another question. Third of all, I guess, in the message that Yaakov Avinu is sending to Esav, it's like it's mixed signals, mixed messages, right? We know there's two sort of concepts that he's conveying to Esav. On the one hand, he's trying to convey strength, right? That's the simple one of the simple explanations of why he sends real malachim is to intimidate Esav. It's like, whoa, Yaakovinu is in control of malachim. It's not a small thing. So that's one reason why he does this. Another, and there's a number of aspects of what he writes. So, for example, "Im lovin garti ve'echar datos." Rashi says, "Im lovin garti" means "retarg mitzvah shemarti." What are you telling Esav for? Who cares? He cares that you are makbul chol Yisrael. So the answer is, he's trying to say to Esav that he has chusim. He has chusim that even in the house of love, and he was able to mekayim targ mitzvahs to intimidate Esav. So he's sending malachim to intimidate Esav. He's talking about his own greatness and avodas Hashem to intimidate Esav. That's what he's doing. Mitzad sheni. What another basic theme in the message is what is that, you know, like the pasuk v'hili shor v'chamor, I have oxen and donkeys, says Rashi. Yaakovinu was prompt, the bracha that Yaakovinu got was mital shemayim mishmani oretz. So he's trying to say to Esav, the brachas were not niskayim, like, you know, I don't have the bracha, like hilu the brachas. He's trying to sort of downplay. He keeps on talking to Esav about himself, about Yaakov. He calls himself Avdecha, right? He calls him your servant. So, again, trying to sort of be machniya himself to Esav. So, which one is it? Again, it's basic. So, which one is it? Which one is it? Okay. The truth is, it's also strange. Throughout the conversation, when he sends a message to Esav, so the language that he uses to the messengers and to Esav, he describes Esav as his brother. Which I guess makes sense, you know. I guess a part of the Indian that he's trying to convey is he's trying to extend the olive branch to get it, calls him Achi. The problem is that he describes Esav as Achi even when he's not talking to Esav or sending any messages to Esav, right? So Moshe, even later on when he's diving to the Rabbanu Shalom, he's, you know, Ketan v'kol Chesod v'kol Emes and so on. Hatzileni no miyad Achi miyad Esav. So what does Rashi say? Mitzileni for my brother from Esav. So Rashi says Yaakov is saying he's my brother. But he's acting like Esav. Like, why is he talking to that like that? The Rabbanu Shlomo, Miad Achim, Miad Esav, Keilu, it's bothering him that Esav is not like we should be brothers. Like that, all of a sudden, what's up is all of a sudden, you know. Okay, it's a running theme. It's a running theme throughout the entire messages that this. I guess you could say mixed signals in terms of what Yaakov is trying to present, intimidation or achna, right? Those two inyanim. And this desire, this description on Yaakov's part of describing Esav, even in this context, as kind of a brother. And you see at the very end, through all the avoidance of Yaakov with the hashtach avoyis, with bowing down, he was able to be poyel that at least for a limited amount of time, Esav was taka achi. Esav taka acted like a brother. Which is again, and through in that space, Esav then is maskim to the brachas, which is again what Yaakovinu was heading to the whole time. So it's like, what's going on over here? What's the bechlal, the whole sugya? Okay. So as I mentioned, the purpose of this whole parsha is for Yaakovinu to get Esav to be maskim to the brachas. That's the reason why he's doing all of this. Now, so in order to appreciate this better, we have to go back to the brachas that Yitzchak gives to Yaakov. We mentioned this at the time, Stam in one of the shiurim about those parshas, that in the context of those brachas that Yitzchak Avinu gives to Yaakov, it's in the or he thought it was going to be Esav, it's in the context of food, right? It's the context of food. Asig matamim kasher hafti. Esav, he tells Esav to make food for him. That's the only way. That's the vehicle in which the brachas are given over is in the context of food, which is a strange zach. Bechal, you find this also with the Bukhaira, which was hachana to get the brachas, that it has to do with, again, halitainam and odam adam azeh. It's the Bukhaira is bought and sold through food. Sinin of achila. Okay, so let's investigate that a little bit. So let's learn a particular sugya in the halachas of brachas. Nothing too complicated, but something in brachas. And maybe from there, we'll have a Pesach to understand the inyan of why the brachas are through achila, and may let to appreciate the Yishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav. Okay, so it's like this: the sixth parak of Maseches Brachos is the parak that talks about the halachas of Brachos Hanenen, of making brachas. So the Mishnah says like this: Ketzim Mevarchem Al HaPeiros. What's the bracha on fruit? So now, you know, I don't need any raise of hands. I'm sure you know you passed these tests in the early years. So Ketzim Mevarchem Al HaPeiros. How do you what's the bracha on fruit? So Al Peiros Ilan, on fruit of a tree, in other words, on fruit. Why you varpriate? You make varpriate. Says the Mishnah, valperasa aretz, on vegetables, is varpriate adam. That's halach. But the Mishnah brings down a third opinion, a second opinion. The Mishnah says like this. That's the Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says that when it comes to vegetables, not all vegetables are bar pri adam. I don't know the words in English, but pri hadama, certain vegetables that grow like off of vines, like let's say fruits of the ground, right? So whether it be like a watermelon, cucumbers, strawberries, where you have like a bush or whatever it is, and there's like literally fruits, so to speak, that grow off of that. That's fish. That's pri hadama. That's pri adama. That's the bracha bar pri adama. Says Rabbi Yehuda though, but within vegetables, that's only one category of vegetables. There's another category which are called yarakas. What are yarakas? It's a question the Rishonim exactly what it means, but it means like root vegetables or leafy vegetables. That's yarakas. Says Rabbi Yehuda, yarakas have their own bracha. Their own bracha, not bar pri adama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, for yarakas, the bracha should be bairi mine deshoim. Bairi mine deshoim. That's the bracha that you make. Now the Gemara later on, that's the Mishnah. The Gemara later on in Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph records from a Braisa that Rabbi Yehuda sort of subdivided vegetables even further. So you have, I guess, what we'll call pri hadama, that's bar pri hadama, right? You have yarakas, that's bar mini deshayim. And then you have seeds, or things that you use to grind up and to make, like wheat and things like that, to make, they're not eaten in their normal form, not even cooked. You grind it up, or you use it to plant and things like that, things like that. That's zeroyim. There's like seeds like things. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you make a separate bracha for that, bari mine zeroyim. Bari mine zeroyim. So according to, again, so our, we hold like the Tanna Kamma, bar pri eitz, a bar pri adama finished. The shahak also, but bar pri adama, bar pri eitz. Where Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, there's bar pri eitz, but in terms of vegetables, there's bar pri adama, but then there's also bari mine deshoyim, and there's also bari mine zeroyim. Those are the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. So where's Rabbi Yehuda coming from? Again, we don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda, but where's he coming from? So that's the Gemara on Daf Mem, okay? The Gemara says on Daf Mem like this. It's not too complicated. The Gemara says as follows. The Gemara records like this. Om Rab Zeira v'item Rab Chanina Bar Papa. Rab Zeira or Rab Chanina Bar Papa said the following three statements. First of all, he said, Ein halach Rabbi Yehuda. We don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Fine, we hold bar pri eitz, bar pri adama finished. The Amar Rab Zeira v'item Rab Chanina bar Papa. Another statement, Rab Zeira said, or Chanina bar Papa said it. My time is Rab Yehuda. What's the reason of Rab Yehuda? We don't hold like him, but what's his reasoning? So Rab Zeira or Chanina bar Papa said like this. Amar Kra, it says in Pasuk, Baruch Hashem Yoyim Yoyim. It's Pasuk in Tilim, to bless Hashem Yoyim Yoyim, every day. And the tradition is that the meaning of that pasuk is, says the Gemara, but we only bless Hashem a day, not a night. So what does it mean, Baruch Hashem Yoyim Yoyim? So said the Gemara, it means, Tein Loim En Berchaysev. It means that Davin, when you Davin to Hashem, Baruch Hashem, when you Davin to Hashem, Yoyim Yoyim. Davin according to the nature of that particular day. In other words, if it's a weekday davening. If it's Shabbos, a Shabbos davening. If it's Yontif, Yontif. Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh. Tein loy me'en berchaysev. Give Hashem the tefillas that are appropriate for that particular day. Said Rabbi Yehuda, just as what? Just as there's such a principle of Baruch Hashem, Yoyim Yoyim, give daven to the Rabbanu Shalom based on the particular quality of that day. So said Rabbi Yehuda, Hachanami kol min u'min tein loy me'en berchaysev. So when it comes to Birchas Hananin, say a bracha about the particular min that you're about to eat. So don't just say stam bar pri adama and everything. Make a bar pri adama if it's pri adama. If it's yarakas, bar mini deshayim. If it's zroyim, bar mini zroyim. Just like when it comes to davening, we go each day specifically tein leim en berchaysev. So to by brachas tein leim en berchaysev. That's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda. Again, Rabbi Zeira already said we don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda, but that's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda. Third statement, ve'om Rabbi Zeira v'item Rabbi Chanina bar Papa. Rabbi Zeira also, again, Rabbi Chanina bar Papa or Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, they also said the following thing. Come and look. The Rabbanu Shalom is not. The Rabbanu Shalom does things not like us. That what says the Gemara. Basar v'dam. When it comes to human being, kli reka machzik, kli mali ein machzik. An empty vessel has room for things. A full vessel doesn't. Right. That's it is by us. But said Rav Zeira or Rav Chanina Bar Papa, Avlokesh Baruch Hu Einikin. Hashem is not like that. Mole Machzik Reikon Einem Machzik. By the Rabbanu Shalom, only full vessels can contain, could be filled with more things. Empty vessels can't. What does that mean? So the way Rashi explains, like the Gemara really explains Shenemar, because the pasuk says Vayom Im Shemaya Tishma. What does it mean Im Shemaya Tishma? So said Rav Zeira, Im Shemaya, if you have already learned a little bit, Tishma, you'll be able to learn more. But to start, it's very difficult to start. When you're empty, it's hard to begin to fill yourself up. Once you're ready full, there's more room. Im Shemaya, Tishma. If you've heard, or Yoy Chochmul Hakimen, Hashem gives wisdom to those that are already wise. Things like that. Im Shemaya Miyashan, Tishma Michadesh. If you already learned old things, now you have space to learn new things. That's Rav Zeira. That was the third statement. Adkan, that's the sugya. There's a number of strange things about this Gemara. First of all, why do you have to tell me Ein Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda? We have three statements of Rav Zeira, right? Statement number one, Ein Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda. Statement number two, my time is over. What's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? Tein Loi Me'ember Chayzik. Statement number three, by us, empty cups could be full, not full cups, but by their Rabbanu Shalom, it's the opposite. Okay, let's break it down. Statement number one, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Obviously, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. When a majority, you have the Stam Mishnah, you have the Chachamim, say, Bar Pri Adam is finished, and Rabbi Yehuda says not like that. Of course the halacha is not going to be like Rabbi Yehuda. We have to tell me, in halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Aleph. Number two, once you're, it's very strange in the Gemara for such a sequence. The halacha is not like this opinion. Oh, what's the reason for that opinion, by the way? First of all, if anything, first tell me the reason for the opinion, and then after understanding what the opinion is, despite all of that, in halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. It's almost as if, in the order of the Gemara, it's like, I don't want to hear whatever their explanation is, the halacha is not k'Rabbi Yehuda. Like, what are you being so stubborn for? First understand the reason, and if after hearing the reason, and then you still decide the halacha is not k'Rabbi Yehuda, then fine. But no, right away, in halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, but now that we've established that, now this, I'm not budging from that. Like, don't even try. In halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Now that we've established that fact, now we could talk about Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. It's a pella. And second of all, b'chlal, by the Amoraim in the Gemara, you don't find this. They were very focused on halacha l'maisa. Very focused on halacha l'maisa. If an opinion is not, if we don't pass that opinion, they don't spend that much time talking about it. If anything, there's a rule in the Paiskim that if we're not sure how to hold in a particular case, one of the ways to figure out what to pasken, how to hold, is if there's a lot of discussion about a certain opinion. If there's a lot of discussion about a certain shita, then most likely we pasken like that shita. So here it's like the sequence is very ein halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, my time at Rabbi Yehuda. Very strange. Third of all, what does the third statement have anything to do with anything? Empty cups, full cups, it's a nice idea, but what is that? So on a simple reason, a very, very simple level, so this is how the Gemara does, right? The Gemara quotes an opinion. It's a little bit of a random formula, Rav Zeira, and some people say Rav Chinna Bar Papa. Okay, so once we have that strength, you know, that formula, which was relevant to this case of Rabbi Yehuda and so on, so we'll throw in the third statement that we have like that also. But again, Gemara is not going to be a coincidence. So what's the connection between this third statement and the Sugya of Rabbi Yehuda? But there's another, there's a more essential problem, which is like this. One second. What's the logic for Rabbi Yehuda? Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Yeah, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. So bless Hashem every day. Every davening is unique. If there's, you know, if it's Shabbos davening, if it's Shabbos, then you give a Shabbos davening. If it's Rosh Chodesh, if it's Yom Kippur, and so on. So too the same thing with Birchas Hananes. One second. So why are you stopping by Bar Pri Adama, Bar Minei Deshayim, and Bar Minei Yerachas? Why not go even further? Bar Minei apples, Bar Minei oranges, Bar Minei cucumbers, Bar Minei strawberries. Like, why are we stopping? Why are we not subdividing fruits? And why are we subdividing vegetables only in those three categories? If you're going with min, so then do it already. So why is Rabbi Yehuda stopping halfway? The truth is, it's more than that. And what about us? So we don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. So that means that we're not makbid on Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, right? So then why are we even dividing Bar Pri Eitz and Bar Pri Adama? Sha'akon Le'Bavari, finished. Why are we making any divisions? LMI, why are you making divisions? Because Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. So what's going on over here? If we're making divisions already, because Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, so let's go, let's do it. And if we're not doing it, Why are we not making those divisions? And Rabbi does more makbe. No, no, no. Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. You have to make the divisions. You have to be specific. So then be specific, mamish. Something strange over here. The truth is, I'll prove it to you that we do agree with Baruch Hashem Yom Yom in that concept. Why? Because this was a Gemara Brachas. There's a Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah says the following scenario. Let's say I have a lot of mitzvahs that are in front of me. I have Luv and Esrik on Sukkahs. I got Shluch HaKein right here. I got, I'm going to put up a mezuzah in a second. I got a lot of mitzvahs. Maybe your minig is to put on tefillin in the Chol HaMoed. There's a lot of mitzvahs that you can do. So what brachas do you make? So the Gemara says that there was an opinion in the Tanoim, which was that you make one bracha. Bracha to Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Kidshav Mitzvot, it's one, all the mitzvahs. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda says not like that. Rabbi Yehuda said, no. Baruch Hashem Yoyim Yoyim. Tein loy me'en brachaysav. You have to make. Each bracha deserves its own mitzvah. Om Rab Zey Ravi Teim Rav Chinah Bar Papa. Halachik Rabbi Yehuda. Halachik Rabbi Yehuda. So that's what we paskin, right? If you have many mitzvahs, you don't say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Asher Kidshanu al ha-mitzvahs. That means because we hold Tein loy me'en brachaysav. And the truth is, we're doing that with Birchas Anen, and sort of by making it shakal, bar minizaynis, bar priyadam, bar priyadam, bar priyadam. But Rabbi Yehuda, by brachas, somehow holds that we have to take it further, and we have to divide up vegetables in these different categories. But even Rabbi Yehuda, so I don't understand. So we agreed to the concept of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. For brachas, we agree with it by mitzvahs. We agree with it even by Birchas Anen, and that's why not just everything is shakal. But yet, we don't agree with taking it as far as Rabbi Yehuda goes. And even Rabbi Yehuda, for some reason, doesn't take it all the way. So what's going on over here? Which, by the way, just going back, this is also partially a reason why Rabbi Zeira or Rabbi Chinin Bar Papa had to say, Ein halachik Rabbi Yehuda. Because you could very much say that maybe we should paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. We paskin like the concept of Rabbi Yehuda by Birchas HaMitzvahs. So if we hold like him in Sukkah by Birchas HaMitzvahs, so we should hold like him over here. Ein halachik Rabbi Yehuda. But again, then why? If you hold him over there, why not over here? It's very strange. Okay, so step by step. Why, one, again, in the kitchen sink of kashas I just threw at you. So one particular aspect was, again, so let's focus in Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Tein leiv en brachayisa, baruch Hashem yoyim yoyim, and because of that, bar priyadam is divided into three. So I asked the question, so why not bar priyates and divide into apples and oranges or seasonal fruits? I don't know. Why there? So the truth is, Rishonim make the following point, is that the reason why Rabbi Yehuda divides it, takes baruch Hashem yoyim yoyim to this conclusion, of dividing up vegetables like that and not any further, is because the way Rav Yehuda is focused on it is, he's not focused on like dividing up like per species per se. He's focused on dividing up based on how the usage of this item for human beings. All fruits, derekla, I mean, again, there's always exceptions, but the overwhelming majority of fruits are edible as is. So that's bar priyates. So as far as the human consumption and human usage, it's all the same. Bar priyates. When it comes to vegetables, so of course everything has a different species. But in terms of human consumption and human usage, there are three. There's pre-hadama, which is just, you pick up the strawberry and you eat it, right? You wash it first, clean it out, whatever it is. Yeah. Back in the day, you just picked it up and ate it, fine. And then the second type is more like root vegetables, which... maybe many of them could be eaten raw, but primarily you want to cook it. And so that's a separate category in terms of how human beings use it for their consumption. And then there's a third category of how human beings use it for their consumption, which is seeds. To grind it up, use it to plant other things, whatever. This is a separate usage. So this is how the Rishonim explain. Rabbi Yehuda is saying, Tein loy men baruch Hashem yom yom. Therefore, every min needs its own bracha. What does it mean min? What does it mean a species? So what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is that in terms of these brachas, I'm not thinking of it in terms of apple, orange, peaches. I'm thinking of how human beings ingest this, how we take it in, how it becomes a part of us. In that context, all fruits are pretty much the same, and vegetables are divided into these three categories. Okay. So that's at least why Rabbi Yehuda takes it to that ultimate conclusion, and we don't. The Chachamim obviously don't. But again, let's go a little bit deeper into this. What's this idea of Baruch Hashem Yoyim Yoyim? So this idea, again, the origin of it is this principle that, you know, on Shabbos, you daven Shabbos, Yontiv is Yontiv, weekday. Tein lo man brachosav, Baruch Hashem Yoyim Yoyim. In Chassidus, we're taught the following idea, which is that, you know, there's a term that the Rishonim used to describe reality, which is Yesh Miayin, right? That this world is something from nothing, something from nothing. In Chassidus, we're taught that there is something that in Chassidus, we know the tachlis of creation, the very purpose of our avodah, is in order for us to become davuk to Elokus, to become attached to God. To become attached to God. That's the tachlis. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. But there is something that sort of stands in the way and impedes that dveikus. And conversely, there's a certain quality which is the base, which is the most important ingredient in order for that dveikus to take place. What stands in way what stands to block the experience of dveikus is yesh, is a sense of somethingness. That itself is a maniyah. Conversely, the ikur mida, the ikur tchuna, the ikur quality through which a person experiences dveikus is ayin. Ayin, nothingness, achno, humility, shiflus and nefesh, nothingness, bittel. That's the key. For example, in the Kabbalah form, we know this, that the sphere of the mida, that is, that whenever that mida is there, there's going to be kedusha, always there's going to be kedusha, is the mida of chachma. If there's chachma, it means it's holy. If it's not holy, it means there's no chachma. That's the nekuda. What is chachma? What's that quality of chachma? So the Svarim said, Tanya quotes from Mizrach Magid. Mizrach Magid taught chachma means koyach ma, the ability of nothingness, the koyach of nothingness. That's the nekuda. So the very nature of life, since the Rishon already described the world as yesh miayin, something from nothing, that means we're born behind the eight ball, right? Because it means we're coming into a reality of yesh. Yesh. Once there's yesh, it means that there's already a mechitza shel barzel between us and Elokus. In order for there to be an experience of Elokus, then automatically there has to be a sort of a divestment of yesh. There has to be a sense of hachna of ayin. That's the mitzvah. Now, what is this concept of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom? The Baruch Hashem Yom is talking about whenever you're davening, saying a bracha, Baruch Atah Havaya, it means that you're trying to capture a moment, an experience of Elokus of Dveikus. That's what tefillah is. That's what davening is. That's what a bracha is. In order for that to happen, there must be hachna. There has to be ayin. If there's a sense of yesh, then automatically that undermines the experience of davening, undermines the experience of brachas. That's the opposite. That's you need chachma. You need bittul in order for there to be davening, in order for there to be Elokus. That's the only way. Therefore, part a most important ingredient in tefillah is this idea of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, of Tein Lo Me'en Berchaisa. What does that mean? If a person is truly in a state of ayin, then you come assuming nothing. You come with no expectations. So I don't have any day before me. I don't have any day ahead of me. All I have is what I have right now. That's it. That's how an ani comes, right? An ani comes, I don't know what's... An ani that has chayin and the Baal Bas wants to give more is an ani that comes without any expectations. I don't have any expectations from before. I have nothing later. It's just right now. Why is it that there's an inyan that davening on Shabbos, it's kulay Shabbos davening? Why? The answer is because on Shabbos, the concept is there is no Friday, there is no Sunday. All there is today. So why should I care? Like, you know, the concept, what's anti Baruch Hashem Yom Yom? What's the opposite? What would be without Baruch Hashem Yom Yom? Means every day is the same davening. And if it's Shabbos, you sprinkle in, you mention Shabbos, you say something about Shabbos. If it's Yontif, you mention some Yontif. Why would you do it like that? It's because today's the same as yesterday. And yesterday's the same as the day before. It's the same as tomorrow. It happens to be. There's a little wrinkle. The little wrinkle is, happens to be at Shabbos. So the davening should be the same with a little wrinkle. No. Right? What does Baruch Hashem Yom Yom mean? That's the opposite of davening. It means you're coming with an assumption that you were here yesterday and you'll be here tomorrow. That's yeshus. So the whole mitzvah is of Baruch Hashem Yom. That's the mitzvah of davening. I'll give an example. You know, another example of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. The Gemara, just to bring out this point, but very quickly, the Gemara says that the mitzvah of Shammai, The Midah of Shammai was that he would, whenever he would buy something from the store, was always Lekavod Shabbos. It's Lekavod Shabbos. And then on Sunday, Lekavod Shabbos. And then when he saw something better, so then the second thing would be Lekavod Shabbos, and the first thing he bought, he would eat that day, right? So says the Gemara, everything he ate was Lekavod Shabbos, right? Because everything he bought then ate, it was bought Lekavod Shabbos. Says the Gemara, but Hillel Midah Acheres HaYisavoy. So Shammai was super makbid on Kavod Shabbos. Ad kidei kach, that he wouldn't allow himself to purchase anything if it wasn't Lekavod Shabbos. Says the Gemara, but Hill had a different midah. What's the Hill's midah? Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Notice he would buy things for today. I was going to be on Shabbos, their bunch will provide me on Shabbos. Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. So Poshav Shad, you would think that it's a machlokes between Shammai and Hill. Like, you have these two midas. You want to be machmar on Kavod Shabbos, but you also want to be machmar on, like, sort of your emunah bitachin that the Hashem is going to provide. So which one trumps the other? Says Machlag is Shammai and Hill. Shammai said Kavod Shabbos is more important, and Hill says Amunah B'Tachin, working that muscle is more important. If that's the case, and Machlag is Shammai and Hill, who should we passing like? Hill. We passing like Shammai. The Shulchan Aruch brings down that it's a good midah to go like Shammai. If it's Machlag is Shammai and Hill, we should go like Hill. The answer is it's not Machlag. The Inyan of Hillel, which is Baruch Hashem Yoyim Yoyim, means Bittel Hachna, which is the ingredient in order to experience the Kus, that is Shabbos. He's also being the kind of Inyan of Kavod Shabbos. The question is, what does Shabbos mean? Shabbos is coming from the practical, the Chitzainius, that Shabbos is the seventh day of the week, and my entire week is thinking Shabbos Dik. So what does it mean to think Shabbos Dik all week? So Shammai says, you know what does it mean to think Shabbos stick all week? It means that everything I buy Lekavod Shabbos. Hillel says, I also agree with you that you should be thinking Shabbos stick all week. What does it mean Shabbos stick all week? Shabbos stick all week means Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. It means that all I have is this moment because that's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is Hashem created the world, right? And Shabbos means every single day Hashem is creating the world and I don't have any expectations. Shabbos is the day of Kedusha, of holiness, of Elikos, and the ingredient in order to experience that is Hachno and Betel, and that's what I'm doing on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday by just believing and trusting that Hashem is giving me right now and that's all that exists. So they agree to each other that your person should be thinking Shabbos dik all week. But it's not machlekes, it's just Hill is midah cheres. Hill is holding by the pnimius of Shabbos. And Shammai is still explaining to us what the chitzanius, what that looks like in chitzanius. Again, the reason why I'm bringing that in is just to give this example that the nekuda pnimius of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom is hachna, humility, ayin, not coming with expectations, bittel, to be misalik the yesh. And now that there's hachna of the yesh, there's a removal of the yesh. So now you could have a lakus. It's because of that principle. That's why the Chachamim do not use Baruch Hashem Yom Yom the same way Rabbi Yehuda does. In other words, let me explain. Very simple. Again, I said before, why does Rabbi Yehuda divide up between Pri Hadama, Yerakis, and Zerayim? Is because that division is about how we consume it. If you have an apple, yeah? There's two ways to look at this apple. You could look at this apple ayindik, or you could look at this apple yeshdik. What's the way to look at this apple ayindik? The way to look at this apple ayindik is that it's not about me. The Rosh made an apple. It's a beautiful zach. So, and there's another way to look at the apple, which is yesh, which is what? I'm going to eat this, and I'm going to become, you know, hopefully healthier because of it, maybe a little bit fatter too. That's more yesh. So let me ask you a question. So if I'm being misakin brachas, if I'm organizing a system of brachas, which is about experiencing elikus, and elikus is dependent on bittel, so then how should I be viewing this particular piece of produce? Mitzad, how I will consume it? No, that's engaging with the yesh. The whole inyan of brachas is, for example, when Hashem told us to make brachas, when did He say to make brachas? After you eat, right? That's Birchas Hamazon, right? That's the Raisa. Chazal added brachas, bracha Rishayna. Why? This Gemara brachas. In Pnimius, the reason is because after you ate that food, it's very hard to be ayindik. The Torah holds us to a very high standard. You already ate, you're already full, and now you're already like, you know, you're heavier, and now I should still be holding by that place of ayin and bittel. So Chazal had rachmanis, and I said, you know what? Make brachas before you eat. And then maybe that'll make it an easier journey to the end of the meal. But because what is a bracha demands hakar sanoichach to recognize the Rabbanu Shalom's presence. It's dveikus, it's elikus, it's chachma, which means ayin. So say the chachamim. Of course, we agree. Baruch Hashem yom yom. That's the fundamental principle of davening. It's the fundamental principle of brachas, and it's for that reason that we refuse to allow brachas to be organized based on how we consume things. It has to be based on just what the nature of the thing is, and the nature of the thing in terms of its natural movement and natural growth is bar pri eitz, bar pri adama. That's it. That's what the chachamim say. So what's Shan Rabbi Yehuda? Here's the side. The ultimate, I'll say it succinctly in one sentence, and I'll try to explain. The ultimate madrega of Bittul is where Yesh itself is not a contradiction to Ayin. Where a person is so Bittul, here, an example like this. We've spoken about this idea before. It's a basic principle in Chabad Chassidus. When a person is in a state of ayin, and you're in a state of betel, and you want to be more humble, then the nature is to stay away from things that conjure up yesh, right? But the reason why you have to avoid things that are yesh is because there's a part of you which still is kind of, right? So therefore, you have to avoid it. Like the idea, like the Rambam says in Hilchos Deis, right? If a person wants to become exceedingly, if a person wants to fix a midah, so what do? You go to the opposite extreme. Why? Because you're struggling in that midah. So you got to go the opposite. If you weren't struggling in that midah, then you wouldn't have to go to the opposite. You could embrace it and it wouldn't be a problem, right? So, I mean, I'm going to give a very grub, maybe, you know what? I'm not going to go so grub. I won't go so grub. A person has a problem with carbs. Okay? We'll go with a person has a problem with carbs. So if you have a problem with carbs, you can't have a pretzel. Once you have a pretzel, the whole bag is gone. Right? But if you don't have a problem with carbs, you have a pretzel, so it's nishkeferlich. So the ultimate level. So to a certain degree, the fact that that a person is in a mode of where they have to undermine yesh is because when they experience yesh, it's taka not ayin. But if a person was holding by such a maichin, by such a space, that everything is elikus. Everything is elikus. There is nothing but the Rabbanu Shalom anyway. Just like God was the only one to exist before creation. So like I've given this mashal many times. Where did Hashem go to buy the material? He went to Home Depot, Lowe's, where did he go? The answer is, he didn't go anywhere. So where did he get the material from? From within himself. So what does that tell you about the material even now? So nothing's changed to a certain degree. It's all elikus still. If a person has that moichin, then not only does yesh, does the experience of somethingness not stand in the way of bittul, quite the opposite. The greatest expression of godliness is through something. Because God is the only something. That's the true yesh. So if I really want to experience God, it depends, is there an opposing force to Hashem? If there's an opposing force, kiviyachot to Hashem, then my main way to experience Hashem is by subduing that opposing force. But if there is nothing but the Rabbanu Shloilam, then the greatest way to experience Hashem is through something. Because that something is the Rabbanu Shalom talking to me. Is the Rabbanu Shalom expressing himself? Yesh, it turns into a vehicle for Elokus, as opposed to being the opposing factor to Elokus. This is the side of Rabbi Yehuda Sheet. The side of Rabbi Yehuda Sheet is like this. It's no machlokes between the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda. The question is, what's your Meichen? Where are you holding? Are you in Chassidus? We find this following in term. We talk this all the time. There's something that's called Yichud Ilah and Yichud Tata, the higher unity. Or the lower unity. Lower unity means there's still Yesh Miayin, there's still a world, and there's still the Rabbanu Shloilam, and there's an opposing force to Elikus, and therefore my main objective is Bittul HaYesh. That's Yichud Tato, that's the lower unity. But then there's something that's called the higher unity. And then in that context, then you can't look at fruit and vegetables, as far as how you consume them. That's going to stop you from being able to make the bracha. That's not a keem of Baruch Hashem Yoyim. The whole thing of Baruch Hashem Yoyim is hachno as bittel's ayin. So the way to mimkayim Baruch Hashem Yoyim is not by looking at vegetables broken up in those categories. That's holding by Yehuda Tato, the lower unity. But if you're holding by the higher unity, then what's the higher unity? There is only the Rabbanu Shlomo. In which case, Adar V'Adar Rabbah, the Iker Giloy of Hashem's Malchus is when Hashem able is able, when there's a something. Is a something, because the what you want to have, from the Yehuda Ilah's perspective, the one thing that is the area that you don't want to be in because it's the opposite of Elikus is nothingness. What do you mean nothingness? The Rabbanu Shalom is everything. The Rabbanu Shalom exists. So existence is what you're looking for, not the opposite of existence. Yesh. That's Yehuda Ilah. The sheet of the Chachamim are coming from the perspective of Yehuda Tato. Whenever you have a Machlokes Chachamim, and especially with Rabbi Yehuda, it always is code for Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. The Pasuk says in next week's parasha regarding Yosef HaTzadik that he was Ben Zakunim. It says Targum Onkelos Bar Chakim. Zokin Ben Zakunim means that Yosef HaTzadik was the Shevet that was given Chachma by Yaakov Avinu. Chachamim means Yosef. The perspective of Yosef, Mashiach, Yosef, like you mentioned many times, is Yehuda Tato. He is the one that fights, Mashiach, Yosef fights against the guy by Mashiach coming. It's engaging in what reality looks like from our perspective. That's Yosef HaTzadik. Say the Chachamim, because of the halacha of Te'en Lamem Brachais of Baruch Hashem Yoyim, because of that, we don't divide vegetables the way Rabbi Yehuda does. Because that's Yehuda Tato. We have to avoid Yesh. But Rabbi Yehuda, which is the side of Mashiach ben David, what's Mashiach ben David? Yehuda Yilah, the higher unity, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. All there is a Rabbanu Shalom. Comes Rabbi Yehuda, this is the opposite. What are you talking about? Tein Leim En Brachaisav. Divide it up the way it is. Engage in the Yesh. Because it's the Yesh that actually brings out the Elokus, not the opposite. This is why Rabbi Zera has to say, Rabbi Zera or Rabbi Chinna Bar Papa, Ein Halachik Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Even by saying Ein Halachik Rabbi Yehuda, is saying the Rabbi Yehuda is right. Just Ein Halachik Rabbi Yehuda. Ein halachik Rav Yehuda means the halacha lemaisa is we're holding by Yehuda Tato. But of course Rav Yehuda is right. Rav Yehuda is right in the perspective of Yehuda Yilah. The next statement, Am Rav Zeira, Am Rav Chinah Bar Papa, my time is Rav Yehuda. The answer is Tein Lamem Brachaisa, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. The third statement, Am Rav Zeira, Am Rav Chinah Bar Papa, the Rabbanu Shalom is not like us. By us, empty vessels become full. Full vessels repel things. But by the Rabbanu Shalom, full vessels become full. That's the side. That's Rav Zera saying. Rav Zera is explaining himself. Our perspective, that's Basav Adam. Our perspective, Yehuda Tato, is you need to be an empty vessel. You have to the ayin. That's why we pasuk like the Chachamim. But the Rabbanu Shalom is not like that. The Rabbanu Shalom is full vessels become more full. That's Yehuda Yilah. That Yesh is a Giloy of Elikus. Much more succinctly than ayin is. Ayin is just making room for the Rabbanu Shalom. But who is the Rabbanu Shalom? We don't know from Yehuda Tato. The only way, from Yehuda Ilah, from the higher perspective, now we're not just avoiding the... Again, that's the Nakuda. But in Yehuda Tato, in the lower unity, which is the world of Mashiach ben Yosef, we don't know what the Rabbanu Shalom is. We don't know what Elikus is. Our job is just to make room for it. But we don't know what it is. We can't know. So what's our Avodah? More ayin, more empty space. Make yourself an empty cup. But that's all nebuch, because we're not holding by knowing what the Rabbanu Shalom is. If you're holding by Yehuda Yilah, where there is nothing, there's no opponent anymore. We don't have to focus on emptying anything out. There is nothing. So now what's the avodah? Who is the Rabbanu Shalom? Well, then to know the Rabbanu Shalom means to experience something. Then you need the somethingness of the world to act as a shliach, to act as a vehicle for who the Rabbanu Shalom is. And now I know who the Rabbanu Shalom is by experiencing life. That's the sheet of the Chacham, that's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that's the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from his perspective, which is Yehuda Yilah, that a full vessel becomes more full. Im Shemaya Tishma. That's what the Gemara is saying. So let's go back to the brachas. Yitzchok Avinu is giving brachas to Yaakov. What are these brachas? V'yitin l'cha hu elikim. V'yitin l'cha hu elikim. Rashi is what's a ha elikim. V'yitin l'cha. Hashem should give you a good thing. The oimik of that bracha, there's different ways to interpret the bracha, depending on where you're holding. If you're holding by Yehuda Tato, the lower unity, then what's the bracha? The Rebbe should give you good things. Gashmis Gevaldik. But if you're holding by Yehuda Yilah, then of course the bracha is to give you Gashmis. What does that mean? What is Gashmis?
The Rebbe was giving you himself mitalash mishmana yaretz. The question is now. So when Yitzchak gives over that bracha to Yaakov, that's a seed that contains its potential. Like what? It's a matter of Yaakov Avinu unpackaging that bracha, and the way Yaakov Avinu develops over time these parashas to unpackage that bracha is how does he relate to Esav? Esav is the yesh. Esav is the yesh. So what does that mean? So what's my relationship to the yesh? Until Parshas Vayishlach, Yaakov Avinu is holding by Yichudat HaTorah, by the lower unity. By the lower unity, you have to run from Esav, disengage, ayin. But by that point, then what does the brachas mean? You should have gevaldik zachen, and you should have all the pranasa you need in order that you should have time to learn. It's gevaldik. It's very nice. We all be satisfied with that. But that's Yichudat HaTorah. I don't know who the Rebbeinu Shlom is. It means that I'll be an Erlich Yid. I'll have good things and I'll have everything. I don't know what the Rebbeinu Shlom is. Comes Parshas VeYishlach, where Yaakov Avinu already is now holding. He's back to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the place of Yesh, right? Eretz Yisrael, this is the argument of Eretz Yisrael, right? We spoke about this other times. Eretz Yisrael is a place of both something and nothing at the same time, right? Like Sechsar Kolba, Eretz Yisrael has everything. But it has none of it, so you have to dive into Ribbono Shel Olam to get rain. Really? So that means it has everything. That's the great sight. It's so not the deepest level of nothingness that even somethingness doesn't oppose it. That even something is just the Ribbono Shel Olam. The highest level of Bittul. The highest level of Bittul is, again, like I said, the person that is so not addicted to carbs can actually have a pretzel. So the highest level of ayin, of truly, truly nothing, is that the concept of there being anything but the Ribbono Shel Olam is so alien that anything that you experience as something is the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's what Eretz Yisrael is. It's so nothing, it's such a high level of ayin that it's everything, that you could actually engage with everything. This is exactly what Yaakov Avinu now wants to do. He needs Esav to be maskim to the brachas. He needs Yesh to be part of the system. And that will unearth, and it'll unfurl from the brachas of Vitin L'cholakim, the ultimate madrega of what? Of Vitin L'cholakim mitalashman shani aretz. That we should be able to experience who the Rebbeinu Shlom is. Cholakim mitalashman mishmani aretz. This is why Yaakov Avinu sends, and we're holding, not so bad, actually. So this is why Yaakov Avinu sends... Let's go back. So he asked, why is Yaakov Avinu sending to Esav Malachim Mamash? Malachim Mamash. The answer is as follows. The Leshem, in one of the Sforim from Leshem, is Sefer Klalim. So in the introduction to Sefer Klalim, the Leshem has a whole mimer. At the end, he writes that he thanks his grandson, Rav Yoshev, for helping him put it together. So what's this mimer about? The Leshem... It's about a lot of things. But one nekuda that he mentions over there is, what is the role of malachim? What do you need malachim for? What's the tachlis? So the Leshem explains, he proves from Chazal, that the role of malachim changed from pre-chet of Adam and Chava to post-chet. Pre-chet, the entire function of malachim were to serve the Adam and Chava. That's why Hashem created malachim. They weren't an in-between between Hashem and Adam. Hashem and Adam. The malachim were the gaboyim. They helped Adam and Chava. That's what their function was. And fakert, Adam and Chava were on the Madrega, where the Malachim were so happy to serve Adam and Chava. Chazal say, it's a Pelde Gazach, Chazal say that they looked, that they thought that they wanted to daven to Adam and Chava. They thought Adam and Chava were a lekus. That's what they thought. What's after the Chait? After the Chait, things got switched over. Now the Malachim are on top, and they act as sort of like an in-between, so to speak, like a conduit of Hashpah from the Rebbeinu Shlom to us. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lofan of Aleisav Achiv. What Yaakov Avinu is doing now is that he's having the Malachim function as his Malachim, as his servants. Notice that Yaakov Avinu is tapping into that Madrega of Prichet. What was Adam Prichet? Adam Prichet was Yichud Ilah, the higher unity, where he was Yesh, something, Adam L'Elyon. When the Malachim thought that we should serve Adam, see, that's exactly where the Nachash knew how to manipulate things, right? That's how sneaky the Sitra Achra is. What does the Nachash say? Vayisim kilakim yodi toivara. And why would they fall for that? The answer is because they thought that was a tachlis. The tachlis is to be dovik, to be like God. Vayitim l'chahu elikim, italash ranashmaniyar. It's that more yesh will allow us to experience more eloquence. they didn't chop that the poison of the nachash was already infiltrated. How we're not going to that sugya, but the poison was already there. Now Yesh is now the enemy. They didn't chop that at the time. But the reason why they didn't chop that is because pure Adam and Chava before Chait, before any, because how did nachash get to the neighborhood already? If the nachash is already in Gan Eden, it means something went wrong. So something already went wrong. Something was already unhealthy. They didn't realize it yet. But something was very unhealthy. Again, I'm not going into that right now. But pure Gan Eden, the way it's supposed to be, when there's no Nachash, when Esav is still in Chutz Laaretz, right? Esav is in Chutz Laaretz. So so Yaakov is in Gan Eden. Adam Chava Prichet. Pure Prichet is Yesh. Yesh is Gevaldik. Yesh is how? Adarab. But that's the difference between a Malach and a human being. Malachim are nothing. Malachim are the... Why can't a Malach do two Shluchasin? The answer is because all Metzias of Malach is the Shluchas. That's his all Metzias. He doesn't have anything. That's a Malach is empty. Malach is Ayin. So who's greater, the human being which is Yesh, or a Malach which is Ayin? Well, it depends if you're pre-chet or post-chet. If you're pre-chet and you're Chudei La, Har Unity, then of course Yesh is greater than Ayin. But if you're post-chet, then fakert, then the more Yesh you are, the worse. Yaakov is holding by pre-chet. V'yishlach Yaakov Malachim, he's sending Malachim, and that's exactly the point. He's sending Malachim to pave the way for Yesav to be maskim to the brachas, because that's the tachlis. He needs the brachas to be fully unpackaged by even Yesh being part of the system, being part of the Gilui Velikus. This is why the context, he keeps on going back and forth. I'm nothing, I'm everything. I'm in charge, I have no power at all. Because that's the site. The site is, like Eretz Yisrael, nothing, and because of that, everything. The ultimate nothing. Yaakov Vinu says, Yesh li kol, I have everything. Yeah, you really have everything. Because he's nothing. A few minutes ago he said, Ketoyti mikol chasadim, Yesh li kol. It's not a steer. You can say, because he's talking to, you know, to Hashem, he says, Ketan Mikol Chazadim. To Esav, he says, Yesh Li Kol. Yaakov is in Ish Emes. The answer is, it's not a stira. That's Emes. That's the truth. He's so nothing that he taka has everything. That's the Inyan. This is why, again, in this context, he keeps on calling Esav his brother. Because from that perspective of Yichudi Allah, then Yesh is the necessary ingredient. That's the brother. If it's not for that, that's the problem is that post-chet, just like there was an Adam, there was a Nachash by Gan Eden. So this is a short window. This is like a bubble in time, where Esav is talking maskim, Esav is v'yishakeu, he kisses him. It's like a bubble in time. That's always the fellow Rashi says on the v'yishakeu. So Rashi brings down two opinions, right? One opinion is. There's dots on Vishakeh, right? So one opinion is, means he didn't kiss him with a full heart. He wasn't, and the second opinion of Shem Baruch Hai says, nah, halacha, but you do Esav son of Yaakov. So why did he kiss him? He must have went with a full heart, because at that moment it was like such a strange dach. If Esav son of Yaakov, then that's the reason that he should do it half-heartedly, not whole-heartedly. The answer is, Esav son of Yaakov, which means that it doesn't make any sense. So why this happened? It must have been like a bubble in a window, like, to Yehudi Law universe. Well, once it's in Yehudi Law universe, then it's wholeheartedly. It's not working within normal weights of Teva. It's completely otherworldly. But again, the tachlis was in order for Yaakov Avinu to now fully receive the brachas the way they're fully supposed to be. And again, that's going back why the brachas were given in the context of food. Because food is the eating of Asili Matamim Kasher Havti, Bavur Shot Vechani Nafshacha. That in order for the brachas to be given, the brachas had to be coming from a full belly. Because that's what these brachas ultimately were about. Not giving, the brachas are about giving elikus, but elikus in Yichudi Allah level, which is where Yesh is a gili of that, not the opposite. Again, this is where Chassidus comes to sort of reintroduce us to this Malach and bringing us that much closer to Yemaisi Mashiach, where we have to sort of play this dance, where there has to be an unbelievable level of Ayin and Achno, because we're not. It's not just that the Nachash infiltrated Gan Eden. Like, we're not in Gan Eden, you know. But the Mitzat Sheni, we're about, Bez Hashem, we're going to get to Gula very soon. So we have to at least become familiar with these ideas and the way to relate to Yesh in a way that's not poison. So this is the dance that we're in right now. But that's the dance that Yaakov was in with Esav. It's like, on the one hand, I'm preparing for war. So Esav, the Yesh of Esav is the enemy. But on the other hand, he's referring to these cats and my brother, and I want Esav to be on the same page. And when he offers to give the matanas back, Yaakov says, no, please take them. Because this is what Yaakov Avinu is doing. Yaakov Avinu is establishing for Klal Yisrael that even that to have both of these to juggle this and to be able to live at a time of where Yesh is not refined yet, and it's still like Esav, but to know that you have to work, you have to somehow in your avoid of Sumra v'asei toiv of Ayin and avoiding Yesh, to know with a twinkle of your eye that whatever Yesh you're able to handle in a healthy and a good way, according to Shulchan Aruch, you have to prepare it to be a vessel for Elikus, to be Mechen for Gula in a smooth pass. Like Yaakov Yina says, Ani and Estal eat, I'm going to take my time, I'll get the Har Seir eventually. Because when I want to get the Har Seir, I want it to be in a way of where I've already developed over the centuries, I've been snowballing slowly but surely a good Yesh in order to be a vehicle for real Elikus, which is Yehudi Lo. Shemsha bless us, Taka, that myself is no one. Yaakov Avinu was piled good things with Esav, so we should talk about piled good things also. We should be able to see the kiyum of all the brachas. V'itin l'chol akim mital shemam shemani oretz. V'rayv dagim esirash. V'yitz go to the brachim and meher v'yimeinu. Amen.